giving me here. Liftoff. Welcome to Plane Chasers. This is...
Hey, everybody.
Haha, that was Cole. This is Jordan, otherwise known as MTG Wrathy God.
And I'm Cole, or otherwise known as MTG Mondays on YouTube.
Alright, we're going to talk a little bit about states, what did happen, what didn't happen. Alright, Cole, you let
and
me know
some
what...
fun little deck ideas.
Ooh, yeah, I love deck ideas. So, what do we want to go on first? Eldrazi Ramp?
Yeah, because that sounds to be the most, like, what do you call it, most popular.
Alright, well, let me ask you first, on your experience, what you thought was the bigger part of Ramp, because there's a couple different ones I met at State.
Yeah, the biggest one that I saw, the majority of them were playing, like, you know, all of them were playing Wyrmcoil Engine, pretty much. Wyrmcoil Engine has kind of busted out and been a very good card now. And pretty easy to pick up if you went to your pre-release.
Yeah, see, I did, and then I got an extra one, and matter of fact, I run Wyrmcoil Engine. It's the poor man's Titan. That's what I call it.
There you go.
It's fantastic. It goes on anything, and it works great with Molten Tail Masticore, because it dies, and then you have fodder for an extra four, and then you still have 2/3/3s. You just, oh. With the lack of removal.
Yeah, and then I also use it in my blue-white control.
Yeah, with the lack of removal right now in Standard, Death Touch is awesome.
Yeah, and plus he's a big 6/6 lifelinker also.
Yeah. And then, I know...
So...
Go ahead.
No, sorry, I kind of have bad internet connection, so I kind of lag a little, but... like, in my blue-white control, I like it because, like, if they have a bunch of threats or whatever on the board, I can attack with it, cast my Day of Judgment, all their threats are gone, and then I have two. So.
Man, I never even thought of anyone using it that way, but that does sound like it would work pretty good that way.
Yeah, it's seemed to be pretty good in my blue-white. But, so, you went to States, right?
I did. I had quite the States journey, that's for sure. I went specifically so I could... Go ahead.
I was going to ask what deck you were playing, but go ahead.
same thing I've been working on YouTube for a couple of months, the Lich Me deck. You know, black, red. I know what I've changed since States because of that, and I know that my sideboard was poorly done. But, you know, I drove 400 miles one way to go to State. So we left at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was on crutches the whole time, so I couldn't even get to drive. And if anyone's ever been to Fargo, you get off the interstate, and it's like 6 one-way roads. Well, the one-way underpass to get across the tracks was closed for construction. And not knowing any other way, we had a hell of a time finding the store. Because it's all on one-ways. And then I got there, I dropped off my friend, because there was a big crowd outside, and I knew it was getting close to time. We parked like 2 blocks away, and I hobbled on my crutches down there. I got into the building just in time for them to call, if you're not in line, you're not playing. I mean, that's how close it was.
Ooh.
There was like 1-2 people behind me in line, that's it. So I didn't get to adjust my decks like I wanted to. And I think it would have made a huge difference. Because I was running reverberates because I was expecting blue-white. And there was a lot of blue-white. But I thought it would be safer to go with Sadistic Sacrament. I know most people are using Memricide, but you know what? If you don't know what deck you're playing against, it doesn't help if you name a card and you find out they're not running it.
Yeah, I actually like Memricide a lot because I'm working on a mono-black Infect deck right now with Skithrix, the Blight Dragon, and whatnot. And so, like, if I lose game one, and game two, I'll just side in all my member sides, and then I can start sniping out threats that I know that they play, you know?
Yeah, but my thing with member side, I know, you know, there are a few perks, but, you know, you can get Sadistic Sacrament out one turn earlier, and then in game one, you can always pick out the three biggest threats, where member side, if you don't know what they've got...
I guess. I actually use both of them in my sideboard. I have three sacraments and four member sides right now.
I think that's going to be a good way to go. I see that there's a couple of state decks that were blue-black control, and they had sacraments in the sideboard.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I was going to go to states, but didn't have the funds, didn't have the time off, but I actually did. I thought I had enough time off, but so I made the deck, and it was the blue black control, but just never made it down there.
How far would you have had to go?
Probably about 6 hours. I'm not sure on mileage, but you know, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, see, that's about what it was for me, you know, 400 miles. Which is still a ways. And it was in a different state.
I mean, I went down to Portland for the Grand Prix, but that was probably the longest journey I've made for a Magic tournament.
Yeah, I want to get to one of those. I still haven't done a Grand Prix. I've done a couple PTQs. You know, and I'd like to do the release and pre-releases because there's a lot more casual players and it's a little bit more laid back.
Yeah.
And
so what do you think on the new set so far?
Scars? I think there's some really good stuff in there. Some of the... What I'm hoping... And, you know, I know you said you're working on Infest, but, you know, reading and seeing other people play it, Infest still is lacking some pieces to make it a really good deck. You know, I saw somebody at States that had a black-green one, and they were using the Stinger and Giant Growth. and that's how they were winning. They were doing, like, double Giant Growth, but, you know, if you don't have the right hand, you're not getting nowhere. You know, I think...
Well, with my mono-black, I'm using all of the good black infect ones. Skithrix the Blight Dragon, just for my... In my opinion, he's very good. For 6 mana, he's a 4/4 haste flying infect. And, I mean, in my opinion, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I want to pick up one of those just to see how well it works. I haven't done anything with it yet. I kind of want to play with Koth, but he's so expensive right now, too.
Yeah. I was actually lucky enough to pick up my Skithrixes when they were, like, $10 pre-sale on Star City, so now they're almost 20, I think.
Oh. But they're working out pretty good for you, then?
Yeah, actually, well, around here, it's not a very big player base, but for all the decks around here, it works pretty well against. There is one person down here that uses the Elves list that just took the big Star City games. It's not the same list, but it uses, like, all the Urzi guys and the Monument and stuff.
You're talking about the one that won on Saturday, the 16th, right? Yesterday?
Yeah, the Open, the...
The Nashville?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. I saw one of those at States, and that was a pretty nice deck. Especially
yeah, that's
when...
That's pretty vicious, It just, sometimes it just doesn't get what it needs, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing I really like about it is having the Preserver so that you don't have to sacrifice your own creatures to Monument. I don't know if a lot of people catch that, but that is, I like that little cheating way to get that in there. All the benefits, none of the side effects.
Yeah, it's, It was a pretty neat deck, so... Actually, the Preserver says spells and abilities your opponent controls. Oh. So...
was also
But
awesome.
The one that I played against, he used the Nissa Ravain guy, or girl, whatever, or Planeswalker. And then he just sacks the, whatever you call it, the...
The Chosen.
That one, yeah. Gosh, brain fart there. But, yeah, he just sacks the Chosen every turn and then gets it back with Nissa. And then, you know, when it cheats big enough, he just goes and does all the elves deal.
Yeah, all those elves players must be loving that.
Definitely.
And it's really not that expensive of a build.
Not at all. The most expensive thing, I think, is the, what do you call it? The Monument and Nissa. In my friends, anyways, so.
Yeah, and I don't even think those are too bad. Because I know just before...
They're like $8 or something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I spent $20 just to get a second Masticore.
Ooh. He's pretty good, and I didn't think that it was going to shoot up to the whole entire $25 or however much it is now, but
yeah. It's pretty insane, and I knew it was so good because when I went to the pre-release, I pulled it, and and it was, you know, if I got it out, I won. There was, you know, it was the same thing with the guy next to me who got Koth. If he got Koth out, he pretty much won.
Yeah. Well, in my pre-release, I got my first sealed, because I did two seals that day. The first one I did, I got a Koth, and just a bunch of other things, but my red, I had no red. I had no red removal, nothing. Like, so I couldn't even play Koth, which kind of made me mad, but...
that would suck.
So I ended up running an infect thing, and I went... 2 and 3, I think, or 3 and 2. 2 and 3. So, I mean, it didn't do too well, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess a lot of people are really stuck on how well you do, but the biggest thing is how you learn from it. That's the way I look at it.
Oh, I mean, the second one I did a lot better, the second seal that we did. I was able to see what people are doing and whatnot, and learn to run... any kind of artifact hate main deck because everybody uses artifacts. So.
And then, well, I guess we're kind of going everywhere on our subject, but that's a problem. That's not a problem.
Yeah. It happens with the first episode.
Yeah, it does. I guess we should get back to the Eldrazi ramp. Boy, I tell you what, the Eldrazi's I had this third round. I had somebody that between Lotus Cobra and Cultivate and all that by turn 4 got an Ulamog out.
Ugh.
Yeah, that wasn't very good. That didn't take long to lose. To that.
There's no going back from that.
No, especially since he got rid of two of my creatures the turn before that, so I only had one left, so he just used, you know, blow up target permanent, blew up my last guy, and then swung for 10, and then the next turn I blocked it, and then, you know, with Annihilator 4, it doesn't take long, we got nothing left to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, with that out, watching a lot of the people... There were more people, instead of cheating them out with Summoning Trap, just paying the full price for Summoning Trap and getting out the big guys. You know, just playing...
Yeah, what do you think of Genesis Wave in that deck? Like...
Well, you know, I don't...
I don't know, I think it could be good.
The only thing is X and then triple green... And
you, well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
You know, I mean, I could see if you get the mana up for it, but for elves, it to me, sounds like it'd be a lot easier to get it because you get a lot of one or two elves and you just hit two and then you'd have like 2, 3, 4 things you could just put out instantly with the wave.
Yeah, the thing I like about the the Wave is. I have a friend that uses it in casual, in a tooth and nail deck. But the thing I like about that is if you don't choose to play like a Kozilek or an Emrakul or anything, mm-hmm. it'll shuffle the stuff that you discarded with it back into your deck.
Yeah. No, I see.
But I guess you do need the push for it, but.
No, that is definitely a good way to get around the bad part of it, where everything else goes bye-bye if you don't hit anything. You know, it's no different than...
Yeah, exactly.
...than with Summoning Trap, you know. I mean, when I was reading the coverage for yesterday on that open, the guy that was in second place, he did a Summoning Trap and whiffed on it. All seven cards weren't creatures, so he didn't get nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you play that gamble. That's the same gamble with the people that are playing that Glimmerhawk deck. You know, if you don't have the right hand on turn three, you know, and that was my hard win right there. I mean, I stomped the guy because I have quick enough big creatures. But, you know, Sadistic Sacrament got it there for me there because I got rid of both of his armors and his sword of... I don't remember what that new sword is, but the sword equipment.
Both body and mind.
Yeah, and... Then he got another creature out, then he cracked his quest, and then went through his whole deck and realized he didn't have any more equipments left.
Oh, man.
It was pretty funny. He's like, oh, dude, I sighted it out. Because he had Basilisk Caller out and Adventuring Gear, but that's all he was running. Main deck was those five equipments.
Actually, Adventuring Gear's hit and miss with me, because for some reason, whenever I play it, I never get any of my sac lands when I need them, you know? So I actually replace my Adventuring Gear with the Infiltrator lens, just because if one of my little guys does get blocked when I'm attacking early game, it draws me two extra cards, so...
Yeah, you know what? Surprisingly, at States, when I was there, there was actually quite a few people that had Infiltrator's lens. Just so they could get the card advantage.
I really, really like it.
You know, I think it's a sleeper card. I think there's going to be more people that are be playing with it, whether it be in casual or, you know, local F&Ms.
Yeah. And, like, in my Infect deck, I actually have it in there also, because if they don't block it, they get poison counters. If they block it, I get two cards, so.
It's a win-win.
There you go.
Well, I guess for you, for them, it's a lose-lose, so...
Exactly. And then I was talking on my last MTG Mondays episode that I'm thinking about trying my Infect deck more blue-black with a lot of bounce spells and whatnot, just to return my Icarats and whatnot with the Hand of Praetors in play, because when I cast the Icarats with Hand of Praetors, it gives them two and me one. So.
Are you going to use Thrumming Bird to proliferate?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then, well, Into the Royal would probably be a good one to have that, because then you can do it for multiples.
Yeah, that's what, the Beamy was suggesting from Monday Night Magic. He was telling me some good stuff to add in there. Into the Royal and that other new one that costs two. Disperse or something like that. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I could see that would work out pretty good.
What kind of decks did you see down there?
Of course, the Glimmeroth. There was blue-white. There was tons of different blue-white. And the best thing that caught me is, you know, we'll probably get in trouble for this, but there was a lot of net decking. And it was funny to see that on the bottom tables, you still saw Eldrazi Ramp and blue-white because they just didn't know how to play it. I mean, when you got that expensive of a deck, and you got all the cards, and you're still, like, in, you know, the 90 range. You know, it's not... You're doing something wrong.
You gotta learn how to play your deck.
I've seen a Life Gain White Weenie. which was a little different. Journey to Nowhere was there a lot.
Yeah, that was... I saw that coming with the rotation of Oblivion Ring.
And Arrest was there a lot, and that was what kind of surprised me. I knew my friend was bringing Arrest, but there was quite a few white players that were playing Arrest.
You know, I looked at that card, and I said, this is kind of a pseudo-replacement for Oblivion Ring, because, you know, it costs three. It almost does the same thing just to creatures, though, so...
Yeah, and you know what? It killed... I gotta tell you this. My friend that didn't win any games, somebody activated Celestial Colonnade, so he arrested it, because they were gonna block with it. And then, apparently, after that, you know, it becomes a land. On their turn, they're gonna tap it for mana, and he called the judge over, and the judge ruled that he can't.
Wow.
So, what it does is, you know, once it's a creature, it gets rid of all the abilities, so... It no longer is land either. It's completely useless if you arrest the land when it's a man land when it's a creature.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was one of his favorite things. The guy got pretty mad and then beat him in the face for like 25. But I thought that was pretty interesting that was something I did not know would happen. But I guess...
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of side tech there for anyone doing white. You know, that you can't do that. Let's see, what else did we see there? I saw a couple of red deck wins, you know, in multiple forms. The big ones, I've seen a couple of people try to do mire decks. Those didn't do very good. You know, with the battlegrounds, and then the Mire Propagander, or whatever it gives the Myers, the +2 or +1 or whatever it does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just try to go full out artifact almost and just use the spell bombs. Let's see. What else did we see?
I was looking into a deck for just casual building with mirrors to do the infinite mana combo with the Propagator, or not the Propagators, but the. Galvanizers and just other mirrors, and then Genesis Wave and have like an Emrakul or two or something in there.
Yeah, I was reading on that too, that you know, you could do that combo, and I was like, dude, I didn't see that in there. That guy may have had it in his combo, but you know, it took him long enough to get anything going that he never did do it that I saw.
Yeah.
But let's see, what else did we see there? You know, really, there wasn't a huge diversity. I did see some mono black, and it was almost like a vampire. Yeah, matter of fact, they did video round by round, each round in Fargo, and it's on YouTube at Paradox CNC. I can't believe I remember that. But, you know, they did a text, you know, featured match and a video featured match. And one of them on there, it's just mono black. It's pretty close to a pure vampire, you know. He's using Nighthawks and Gatekeepers and Blood Witches and all the, you know, Doomblade, Consuming Vapors. And he did pretty good with it. I was just surprised to see it, you know, because there's not really any big bomb that he was using. I guess he had Abyssal Persecutor, and I guess if you have enough stuff to get rid of it, but...
Yeah. My favorite thing to do was the Abyssal Persecutor Gatekeeper.
Yeah, see, I did the Abyssal Persecutor, you're down to -7... Can't find anything to fling at you. Oh, you hit me with 4 Venge Vines. I'm dead.
It sounds like it happened a lot.
It happened a couple of times. I had one time where he's at -7 for like, I don't know, 4 rounds, and I didn't get a fling. I didn't get a Sarkin of the Mad. And the last card I drew was Doomblade, which was my replacement for Terminate. And all I could think of is, I wish they would have reprinted Terminate or else I would have won. because it's not a lack. Now, all I was thinking is, you know what? I knew I should have switched those out for consuming vapors. Because that's a sacrifice creature, too.
Consuming vapors is pretty good.
I know, and that was something I was figuring, but, you know, everyone had always warned me about Persecutor. You know, it's one of those things that if you don't draw it, it can bite you, and it bit me good at States. So, you know, the new build I have, I'm taking my Persecutors out, putting in another Masticore, and putting in another Nighthawk. Because Lifelink and Death Touch
together. Yeah, Nighthawks are pretty solid.
You know, and then I use Dark Steel Axe, so it's nice to be able to get that out, put it on there, you know, have an 8-point swing, and it's pretty easy to do that at least once, you know. You gain 4, they lose 4. And
yeah.
I know online...
Do you also use the liquid metal coating for your Lich?
You know what? I tried it, so I could, like, liquid metal coat, like, the land, or... You know what? It just didn't seem to work as good as I thought it would. You know, because I was using that, and then I was going to use Shatter, because there's not a lot of removal for, and you know, other for black and red, and Liquid Metal Coat, you know, either one of their lands or Planeswalker, and then just Shatter it.
Yeah.
But it, you know, for me, it didn't work out very well. I just couldn't get the right draws or get it to work the way I wanted it to work. But I did try it.
Like, logically it does, you know, it sounds like it would be a very good thing. But
yeah, you know, with liquid metal coating, it turns Shatter basically into Vindicate.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe somebody else will have some better luck, because yes, I did originally have that in my main deck, 2 of them, and I took them out because it just didn't work for me. And surprisingly, the indestructibility didn't help me in my favor as much as I thought either with the Liches. Other than I killed so many, I saw so many Primeval Titans, it made me sick. I killed so many of them, but, you know, I played against Valakut. Oh, that was another big one that was there. I got hit in the face for 18 in one turn. On turn 4. Because he just happened to draw one, put it out first, and then he hammered out a Primeval Titan, and then... I even had... One of the funniest things that he did with Valakut twice was I had Wyrmcoil Engine out, and he just deal 9 of the damage, you know, 6, no, it would be 6, so 12 of the damage to it, you know, 6 to it dies, 3 to each one of those 2 tokens, so I wouldn't kill his Titan. He did that to me many times. I'm like, dude, the only thing that was good is he didn't hit me in the face with it, but Valakut sure was a pain in my butt.
Yeah, it seems that Valakut came up 6 first places. Sounds pretty good.
You know, it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It all depends on how well their draws are, but shit. The player I got... Every single turn, at least by turn 4, had Primeval Titan out. Every single turn. It was so agitating.
Oh, gosh.
In the first round, I killed 3 of his Primeval Titans before he finally killed me in the first round. Which I thought was a pretty good sign that I must have done good for a rogue deck, because there aren't many that can survive that many Primeval Titans with Valakut.
Primeval Titans are pretty mean.
Oh. You know, they just, like, attack. Oh, you may kill it with your Death Touch, but the thing that irritated me the most is, I get the lands in the play first, and then I kill all your Death Touch guys, and then now you can block it with your indestructible guy. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Most all of them are playing 4 Primeval Titans. That's seems the standard.
And, God, what else was there? There was... he was also playing God, what the hell's that shapeshifter? The blue shapeshifter.
Oh, the gargantuan.
Not the Quicksilver gargantuan. The other one, the doppelganger.
Doppelganger. Oh, the renegade doppelganger.
Yeah. That was the second Valakut guy I was playing against. He had a blue splash in there for that, so that he could copy his Primeval Titan and have more Primeval Titans.
Ugh, wow.
I thought that was a little different, but I tell you what, it worked.
Yeah, it seems like it would. What else we got here? The white, blue, red control, did you play against any of that?
I did not. My wife did. And she was playing like a dumbed down version of Eldrazi ramp. You know, I mean, we didn't have any summoning traps or anything because we weren't there early enough to buy any yet. And she was going straight off of sacking Eldrazi tokens and then using Cultivate. And she just, you know, mana leak, and you'd see that new counterspell that with Metalcraft, it basically is a counterspell.
The Stone Crabble, yeah.
There was a lot of that was running around, because you'd see a couple of Mox Opals, you know, just for more mana acceleration, and people were using a lot of equipment. Like, there was a lot of Basilisk Callers.
What's your feeling on that Volition Reigns? Or Violation Reigns?
You know, I think it's really expensive. But you own any target permanent. And from what I saw from the States, you know, it's completely legit. I hate to say that, but even with the was it 6 mana cost, it was kind of fun to watch them. You know, they're like, oh no, you're going to kill my Jace. Oh wait, no you're not. I'm going to steal your Titan and hit you in the face with it. Which is kind of fun to watch, but not if you're the one that's taking it in the face. You're like, haha, I have a Grave Titan. And they're like, oh, haha, I just stole your Grave Titan.
Yeah, I really like it for the ability just to take Planeswalkers, you know? I think that's kind of cool. And just totally use them against them.
You know, and another blue-white that I saw, which was kind of different, is they were using, was it Contagion Engine or... You know, and that Contagion Collapse. God, I'm probably butchering it. You know, the one that gives it proliferate.
Oh, yeah.
And they're using Jace Bellerin and a Johnny Goldmane. So they could gain their life and draw cards. And what they do is they would continually proliferate. Well, you only need 6 counters for Goldmane to do his ultimate. To put out, you know, an Avatar token that's just equal to your life total. So basically, they put it out, unsummon, or into the royal, your creatures, or whatever, to buy time, and then proliferate for 1 or 2 turns, and then put out, you know, a 2020 Avatar token.
And that seems pretty good.
It worked very well. That was something, I guess I haven't even seen any other sites that were using any of that. I've seen it online. But, you know, it's not real expensive cards, but, you know, they're proliferating that. You know, and on the other side, they had the class, so that if you have a creature, they go in and they could proliferate 2 or 3 times a turn. So, you know, they put a -1/-1 counter on your creature, and then in 2 turns, you don't have a creature no more, even if it is a 5/5.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, between all of their bounce, it doesn't take long if they have, like, their life total's at 18 or whatever and hit you in the face for 18. So, you probably don't have that
one. So, what deck did you say won your States?
It was the Rug Ramp. Red, blue, green. It was Brad Nelson and Corey, who's his half brother's concoction. You would use green to ramp up, use Frost Titans to lock down the other Titans and attack with those, and then had red for some removal.
Is it Ivy?
Yeah, here, go. Go get mommy. That's my son. He decided to come break into the room and say hi. So, you know, in matter of fact, it was kind of funny because the bubble match was between Brad and Corey to find out who was going in the top eight. And, of course, I don't know if you follow, but Brad kept saying he has to win so he doesn't have his brother saying, how many states have you won? Because Corey was a 2-time state champion. Now he's a 3-time state champion, which is pretty good.
Oh, that's cool.
And Brad ended up losing to his brother, and his brother got in the top eight and just beat everybody. Which was kind of funny because it was, you know, Brad's deck. Zane, stop. But, you know, all in all, it was a pretty good experience. I met some new people. I've got a couple of people that I talked to on YouTube over it that we have bounced some ideas on. Let's see. I'm trying to remember if there's any other decks, but I don't remember any others that I saw. There was a ton of the Glimmer Hawks there.
The Corwini or whatever, yeah, That deck looked good, but like you said, you know, if they side in Sacrament or they side in any kind of thing just to take out your key pieces, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, because nobody had anything big, you know. And they got me one round by round two, and that's really the only reason he won that round is I had one swamp out, and he just had the nut hand draw. You know, first turn, he had an Ornithopter, or he put out his quest, put out an Ornithopter. Second round, Glimmer Hawk, and like two Midnights or whatever. He just barely had enough to do five, got out Argentum Armor, attacked, you know, and then it's a very well directed Annihilator one, is the way I put it.
So yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I happened to pull one of those, and I let my buddy borrow it, but he didn't have as well good of luck with it, so.
Yeah.
That's another one of those.
So, what's your favorite card from the new set?
Masticore.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I like the Planeswalkers and all that, but Masticore, I guess, is more me. I'm more of a meats and potatoes guy, and that's Masticore, 4-4 for 4. You know, get rid of junk out of your hand. Cannon fodder for 4 to the face or regenerate it. I'll tell you what, there's a couple of times where people forgot that it could regenerate. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful.
They're like, oh, and I block it. And they're like, yes. And I'm like, I regenerate it. You can do that? I'm like, yeah.
Or when somebody goes, Day of Judgment, okay, I'll regenerate him. What?
I had somebody Day of Judgment me when I had 2 liches out, and I just smiled. I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, they're dead. No, they're not. They're indestructible. Oh, I'm like, yeah, that helped me out real good. Because with Darksteel Axe, having a counter on it, you know, they can't destroy that either, so they don't have to worry about anything like that.
Yeah. I really like the Darksteel Axe. That's pretty good.
I know at least for drafts, the Darksteel Sentinel's pretty nice, too. I don't care too much for paying 6 for a 3-3, but the Indestructible and Vigilance
for it, though.
Yeah. That helped me win in some draft because, you know, the Vigilance is so big. There isn't a whole lot of that out there.
Yeah. I haven't actually done any draft yet with Scars, but I think I'm going to do it this Friday. Sounds fun.
I do got to warn you, though, on draft with that, it's... You know, even listening, I think it was either Brad or LSV when I was watching one of their videos, was saying that it's very bomb-oriented, like M10 was.
Very bomb-oriented.
And I totally agree with it. You know, and another thing is they either try to go heavy artifact or heavy infest, and that's about all the people draft.
And it's
tough.
Actually, like Sealed is also super bomb heavy because, you want to run your biggest bomb if you can, but, like, with my experience, I couldn't run my Koth, so.
Yeah, it was very surprising. I thought the draft would be a little bit more fun, but, you know, like, even when I drafted the Mox Opal, I had plenty of artifacts, and, you know, it still didn't help me enough to where I was doing really great, because there isn't a whole ton of removal and scars.
Yeah, true. My actual favorite card to pick up in my seal pool and play was that Rusted Relic, the 4/5/5 if you have Metalcraft or whatever.
Yeah, is that the... Yeah, that's the one that becomes a creature when you have Metalcraft, right?
Yeah, that one. He's a 5/5 for 4.
See, you know what? I never did play with him just because, you know, the thing that I did in my pre-release is the first kid I played against, he had like 3 of them in his deck, and once he'd get out to 3, I had like 3 Claps of Darkness, and I'd just kill one of his Metalcraft creatures, and then he'd never be able to get it, stay activated and attack with it.
That's awesome. That's another card I really, really like from Scars is the Grasp of Darkness. I'm using that in my Infect deck right now. It has lived up to itself.
Yeah, for drafting, that's awesome. I know I tried drafting some red because that Galvanic Blast or whatever it is, that works awesome.
Yeah.
You know which one that one is, right?
It's like the shock and then Metalcraft it deals 4.
Yeah, because there, a lot of the stuff isn't real big.
True, and like I played a guy that had that in his sealed. He had 3 of them, I think, and when he got Metalcraft out, he basically just aimed 4 at me 3 times, and that was ridiculous.
Yeah, for a 1 mana cost, it's you're like, ow, dude, thanks. I was feeling that.
Yeah, I actually lost to 2 people the second time, and I was undefeated until I played that guy, and he was undefeated also, but he ended up taking it. But I lost to him, and then I had to play this other guy who just got ridiculous bombs in his draft. He got the Scythrix, he got Wormcoil Engine. And the Master Core, so.
But I'd say that's pretty much like the nut draw. You're like, and you're like, yeah, I finally killed the big guy. Oh, God, what? Worm Coil?
Yeah. Because, like, I had answers to a Scythrix and everything, and I had answers to the Master Core, but the Worm Coil Engine, I just didn't have a double answer.
Yeah, Worm Coil Engine is, like, ridiculously awesome. And I haven't got to play against Koth yet, but I heard that it's pretty nuts. I haven't heard anything really good about Spencer.
In my first sealed, like I said, I got that Koth, and the kid next to me got a foil one. I was like, you son of...
Jeez, that's like one-upping ya. Yeah, in my...
I know, I was like, yes, I got a Koth. Everybody's like, oh, and then he got the foil.
Well, it's like, in my sealed, the one person directly in front of me and to the left in front of me, they both pulled Tyrells, they both pulled that Black Demon that comes out with the 2 -1/-1s.
Yep.
And they had one other Mythic Rare that they both pulled, and I thought that was just ridiculous that 2 guys right next to each other pulled 3 Mythic Rares of the exact same Mythic Rares.
Yeah, that Carnifex Demon is actually pretty good if you get 2 of them.
Oh, I was like, what?
Because, like, if you get two of them, you basically just root pay a black to give everything other than him a minus one.
See,
and you can keep doing that because it puts it on the other one.
Yeah, I haven't seen how well it plays out against each other yet, but it seems like it'd be pretty good. And I'm kind of mixed on the Grand Architect.
Yeah, he seems to be good, but he wants to be good, I want to say.
Yeah, you know, I still got to the semifinals in the draft because of him, but, you know, I still haven't found out if I think he's good enough or not. You know, and the Quicksilver Gargantuan, I'm unsure about him either. You know, it's another big fatty, but being able to steal other abilities and keep him a 7-7, you know, it's kind of nice sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever played with that yet.
I actually haven't played with it, but I played against it, and it's very annoying.
Well, I know, luckily, I didn't have anything big out, but I did have a flyer, so I just turned it into a 7-7 flyer, and that was the end game for that guy.
I think the one guy copied that I had was a mirror propagator, the one that makes a copy of itself. Yeah.
So he was pretty happy you had that out then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think Scars is a pretty good set. I think it's really nice.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. I can't wait to see what Besiege brings us, and so.
Did you read about the two faction packs?
Yeah, I thought that was actually a pretty interesting deal.
That's what I thought too, but I haven't decided which faction I want to go with. I'm thinking more of the Phyrexian because I'm more of a black guy. You know.
Yeah, I liked Phyrexian's always been my favorite, so I'm gonna have to go with that.
I'd kind of like to see him bring back Negator. Because it would be as powerful as it used to be, and I think
I think
it'd still work pretty good. That, and I have a playset, so that'd make it a little easier.
There you go.
No, I still haven't broken out my Mindslaver back from Mirrodin, but I still have a couple.
Yeah, I actually, I just bought a box of Scars. I really didn't get anything good in it, but I got, like, a Mindslaver. The best thing I got was a Molten Tail. And a Ratchet Bomb, so.
You know what? I was surprised. I only saw a couple people playing with Ratchet Bomb, and I thought there'd be a lot more of them playing with that. You know, I see online people talking about how it's such a great card, but I guess at my states, I didn't see as many as I thought I would.
I really, really, really like it with Sun Titan.
Yeah, I could see where that'd be a bit broken. Well, that's a... You probably have your Sun Titan in your blue-white, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I've got two of them in there, I think.
So do you use Bellerin as well?
I use Chase Bellerin. I use the Mind Sculptor, Wall of Omens and stuff you get back.
Well, yeah.
It's pretty much a standard blue-white, but I have three Gideons, three Jaces. I'm only using three Mind Sculptors. And two of the Bellerins.
Because that's kind of a nice thing.
Three you Baneslayers.
Kill off your Bellerins, bring them back with Sun Titan, draw some more cards.
Yeah, it's just a nice little one-sided draw all the time, so I like that a lot.
So what do you think is going to be the big breakout card?
The breakout card from Scars?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not too sure right now. But I think that if people can break it enough, I think that Genesis Wave can do some pretty nuts things.
Yeah. I think at the moment right now, Worm Coil Engine is everyone's favorite because it's the put in any deck Titan, basically, and there's enough of them out because of the pre-release that people can get their hands on it.
Yeah. See, my thing with Genesis Wave is that it puts in lands also, so stuff like Valakut can profit from it. I have a friend that's building a Opnixis the Fallen deck that's built around that card. I don't know. I think it can be pretty broken.
I'll have to check that out. My friend has a Genesis Wave and he doesn't know what to do with it yet, so... And he doesn't play green. You know, we've got a lot of casual players here, and some of them want to get more competitive, but that's kind of the problem I have in my area, is everyone's all... They play basic rule. I don't know if you've ever played that, but that's what we play.
I've never played that. What is that?
Basic rule is Vintage Unbanned. So if you had nine cards, you could do four of each. I don't think anyone here has any. There might be a couple people with one or two pieces of Power 9, but not many. But, you know, you see a lot of different combos and a lot of different things. Like, I know one of my friends is the biggest junkie of Rakdos that I've ever seen.
Rakdos was one of my favorite decks back in the day.
You know, and he likes to turn all your lands into creatures so that he can deal X amount of damage to all creatures. Like, use Blanket of Night, turn all all swamps into 1/1s, and use no, wait. That turns all lands into creatures. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, he's got a combo that basically turns everything into swamps, everything into creatures, and then he just blows everything up other than his stuff.
Nice.
And then...
So do you play any, like, EDH or anything like that?
You know what? I have never played a EDH. I just... No one here plays it. They play Emperor, or they play Two-Headed Giant, or Free-For-All. And
yeah.
Free-For-All's just...
I'm trying to get people around here more into EDH. I've got one or two into it right now. And, you know, they really, really like it, but, like, nobody's ever seen how EDH plays out, I guess. But in my opinion, it's one of the most fun formats that I've played in a long time.
See, I think I can get some of these guys to do that. I know they keep bugging me they want to do some sanctioned tournaments, but I don't even know if I can get enough people. If I do, it'll probably be like 10 people.
Yeah, I think you only have to have 8 or something like that, so...
Well, technically, if you want to do a Rochester, you only need 5. I don't even know if you can do that, but yeah. Yeah, 8 is what they want you to have to be able to sanction it. But still, I mean, that's not a whole ton of people. But when you're in a small town, like, the town I'm in right now is only, like, 4,400 people.
It's a lot bigger than my town.
How many people in your town?
Well, the one I live in... written, I don't know, tiny town and crappy internet and everything, no cell service. But the town that I work in, it's like half an hour away. It's got like, I don't know, a couple thousand.
Well, see, so you probably have the same problem with me. To get really competitive, you have to either go online or go through YouTube because you don't have the big players. That's why I wanted to talk with Brad Nelson. You know, I've sent, you know, messages and stuff to Patrick Chapin because he's on my Facebook and other stuff like that. And it's just so hard to get them to talk to you unless you have recognition. You know, I've been doing this for forever. And I'm just trying to network. which is another good thing about, you know, the plane chasers. Throw some ideas out, throw some deck ideas out. Because I was thinking about an infect deck too, but I was going green black, so I could use that 5/3 trample guy.
Yeah, see, a lot of people are doing that. I don't know. I like simple. I don't like having to try to fix my mana a lot. I mean, I guess you don't really need to, but the two big top-ended guys for Infect are double black and double green. So.
Yeah, and it's hard doing it that way. You know, and I think that's why.
Yeah, and
go ahead.
In my opinion, almost Scythrix is almost better than Putrefax. Yeah, Putrefax tramples, but Scythrix flies. Yeah, Putrefax is 5, Scythrix is 4, but still.
Yeah, and you know what? There is a huge lack of people using flying right now. You know, you've got Baneslayer Angel, some people are using Squadron Hawks, or you've got that Glitter Hawk, but, you know, there really isn't anything else out. I mean, can you think of anything that's flying?
Yeah, there's not too many, and then, like, the only one that I've seen that people are starting to use more is that Sunblast Angel, the one that destroys all tapped creatures.
That's true. I haven't seen anyone playing with that, but, you know, that is a pretty cool... I know my friend here would like to use that with his Blinding Mage deck. You know?
The thing that they do... they're starting to use it in, like, blue-white control now. They use a Gideon to make their opponent's wave of creatures attack Gideon. Gideon dies, play Sunblast Angel. It's a one-sided wrath. So.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet. I wish that Black had Damnation or something like that. Something closer to that.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be kind of
nice.
Cool to see.
It'd be almost return of mono black control.
Yeah, well, you know, articles are starting to come out that are trying to do it, but black still doesn't have enough to where it can do that yet, I don't think, in my eyes.
In my sideboard, I run the Consume the Meek for when I play against the white weenie deck and whatnot.
Yeah. That one's destroy all 3 or less, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's all only when it's good, when you play against elves or white weenie or anything that has, you know, super low casting costs. A bunch of Wall of Omens, so.
Yeah, see, and I wish that would have been a little bit more different, or if there was something that had a little bit more oomph. I think that's what black needs. That, and black doesn't have a pure black planeswalker that's really that great, I guess.
Any good, yeah.
Because, like, Sorin, you know, he's expensive. Vess can't protect herself. And I know that was the big thing.
I'm actually using Liliana Vess in my blue-black control.
Are you using a lot of discard, then?
No, I'm using her just basically to search out my threats, like Wormcoil Engine, Grave Titan, Frost Titan, stuff like that.
You know what? I still haven't played against a Frost Titan. I've seen a couple of them, and I'm kind of curious to see how well that works out.
You know, they're better than a lot of people expected, because a lot of people thought it was just, oh, gross. It's, you know, it doesn't do anything good. But it taps down blockers. It taps down threats. I really like it. I actually play 2 of them in my blue-black control and my blue-white control.
So what's the next big tournament you want to go to?
You know, I'm not quite sure. There's not too much around here. I want to try to make it to a PTQ if it comes around here. So PTQ Seattle probably is the closest for me.
Yeah, I want to try to get to some more PTQs. Have you been to any of the PTQs?
Not yet. The biggest thing I've been to was the Grand Prix Portland, and that was my first real big tournament. Other than that, I've just played in, like, kind of littler ones, I guess.
And then you've played in states before?
No, I haven't. I haven't got a chance to do states. Like, competitively, I've only been playing competitively, wow, I can't say that word, probably the past 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Well, that's still
long. But I've been playing since Onslaught came out, so...
Yeah, well, I don't know. Most people don't know how long I've been playing, but I remember Arabian Nights, but I didn't start playing competitively until about 2.5 years ago, so... And I've been to, like, 3 PTQs. The best I did was 14th place. And then I got 24th at the last one, which isn't too bad. You know, because the last one was down in Phoenix when I lived down there, and there was, like, 160 people.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But, yeah, but the hard thing for me is that I don't get to do, like, F&Ms or any of those. Because, you know... It for ranking, everybody looks at the ranking, and I don't have a high ranking because I don't get to play that many of the big tournaments.
Yeah, same here.
So I got to be on the grinding wheel, just like sounds like you. You know, our only shot is to get a pink envelope from a PTQ and try one season or one pro tour. Yep. And hope you get high enough up there.
I don't like the limited PTQs and the limited Grand Prix. Because I'm not very good at limited. I mean, I'm okay, but yeah, I'm not that great.
Oh, you don't like doing like the sealed on the draft, or?
I mean, I like it for fun wise, but I know that I'm not as keen as on it as I am on constructed.
And see, that's the kind of sad thing is, like, some of the stuff, like, that you and I would be able to do, like, that kind of stuff, those are harder than something you've been practicing with and you know the ins and out, like, constructed. But there isn't a whole lot you can do in constructed.
Yeah. True.
And then PTQs, they're kind of hard to come by anymore in the outskirts. You know, they're for the bigger guys only. And here in Montana... they hadn't had one in like 5 years or so in the entire state.
I don't even think they have one in Idaho that I know of. I know that Seattle comes around, so
yeah, I mean, you're in the same boat that I'm in, as you know, there's not, we're in the lower populated areas and that's it. Isn't there something that's in Coeur d'Alene?
There is a game store there that I sometimes try to go to, make it up to. That's where I do my F&Ms and stuff if I can, but that's like an hour or something away, so.
Yeah, that's like me, the closest place to me is in another state, in North Dakota. And all I do is like F&Ms, and they're just a small shop there where there's like maybe 8 to 12 people.
Yeah. Well, there's a local card store in the town that I work at, and it's about half an hour away. He does casual tournaments every other Friday, and we're going to start doing drafts and stuff, trying to teach people around here how to do drafts and whatnot, so.
Drafts can be fun, I know. My wife and some of my friends don't like doing draft because, you know, it's a little bit more skill intensive. Whereas sealed, they just make whatever they want, or they bring their own cards, you know, and construct it. And I think that's the big thing that's a turnoff on some people is, you know, draft can be very hard to read signals and ask how to set things together and.
And like down in Portland playing sealed, I should have done better than what I did. A lot of it was play errors, you know, being nervous and whatnot. But like my sealed pool that I had was absolutely ridiculous. I had Grave Titan, double Grave Digger, just ridiculous amount of good stuff. Double, what do you call them? Nighthawk, the other vampire, the lifelink guy.
Child of Night.
Yeah. And then two lightning bolts, fireball, you know, so I should have done a lot better than what I did.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, everybody always does that. You know, I know in my first PTQ, I saw all these people, and there's a lot of professional players, and, you know, and I started in Phoenix, where there are full-time pros there. They're not as well-known, but
yeah,
people still get upset when they see these people, because you see them win all the time, because they spend thousands of dollars on these things, and they research, and you know, they've got the resources to talk to everyone that's in the know. But, you know,
Yep. That
I think that's a big thing people forget is, you know, you gotta set goals small. Like, you know, I want to go to a Grand Prix, but, you know, all I want to do is make day two. My goal isn't to win. I'm there to have fun. You know, I went to States, and the only reason I dropped is because they needed somebody else for a draft. And, you know, I know you want to win, and like you said, like with Brad, his focus is all can be. And then when he lost round three, he was upset, and he was outside smoking a cigarette, which I didn't even know he smoked, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can tell when you're a big player and you have all those expectations that it gets to him. And that's the same with, you know, everybody else, too. You know, you just got to take a deep breath and be like, you know what? It's just a game.
Yeah, take it shot by shot. But, like, I had a friend that went up there. He's from Moscow. He's not too far from me. But it was his second Grand Prix, and he made day two. So,
see, and that's pretty cool because, you know, you're like, yeah, I'll make a stepping stone. You know, and then it's just like,
yep.
I've talked with Travis Wu. I feel like a star because I know some of these people. And do you know who Travis Wu is? Yes, no?
I'm not too sure. Nope.
He's a Magic player. He's had a couple of the deck techs that Magic the Gathering does on the Pro Tour. I've
probably seen some of those.
You know, he used to have a YouTube channel. And, you know, he's on the Pro Tour, quote-unquote, living the dream, but, you know, he got burned out from Magic because he wasn't winning. And he just put too much pressure on himself.
Yeah.
He had deck techs, and everyone expected him to win because he went, like, 7-0 the first day, and then the second day he lost his first four. You know. But, you know, that's the big thing is, everybody forgets when you get into there, every one of those people are going for the spot. Everybody wants to be the next Brad Nelson, the next LSV, get all of these deals. And
yep.
And it's hard. I mean, people put in a lot more work than they used to. Everything's serious. I mean, look at what Cedric Phillips did like a couple months ago with that call with the, was it Esper Charm?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, yep. He was right. But, you know what, that's kind of an ass thing to do.
But.
have you heard one of the biggest things Patrick Chapin used to do?
Mm-mm.
Using Great Sable Stag or, God, there's another protection from Black. He would use the Black, the Profound Command. It gives everything. Was it Intimidate or something like that, or Fear, and then Attack with everything, and then just tell them that all the creatures have Fear. Well, Great Sable Stag has Protection from Black, so it doesn't gain Fear. So they could have blocked it, and he's won a couple that way. I mean, he admits to doing that kind of stuff, but, you know, those are the kind of things that do happen.
Well, does it... Does Profane Command say target creature gets fear, or all creatures you control get fear?
It still doesn't give it to it. I don't remember the full thing, but I know that he specifically, you know, it does not give it to it. You know, and one of my lifelong goals is to play and beat Patrick Chapin, because I followed a lot of the stuff. I mean, he's a great innovator, but he has some dirty tricks, and I just... Some of the stuff is bad. you know, I respect the guy, but I still would love to just see what I could do. Granted, I'll probably get mopped with the floor, but at least I'd be happy.
Yeah. My friend that made day two actually got to play against Brad Nelson at the Grand Prix, and somebody else, I can't remember the other pro that he played against, but he ended up beating Brad Nelson and then lost to the other pro for his first loss of the day, and then he did pretty good after that.
That's awesome. Saying those are the times you're always like, yes, this is fantastic. You know, and that was kind of one thing that bugged me when I was at States. After every round, Brad would find out how I did, and then once I got to, like, 1 and 3, he never come to talk to me no more, because I wasn't doing good enough, you know. I'm like, hey, wait a minute here. But that worked out pretty good, and it was kind of nice.
Are you going to be a husband or a parent today, or are you just going to do this whole thing?
Okay. Just give me a second. Well, sounds like I'm going to have to go here pretty soon. So.
All right, no problem.
I guess we'll call that an end for this one, and then I'll see what I can edit and see. It was fun talking with you on that.
All right, sounds good. Do you know... Yeah? Sounds pretty fun. Thanks everybody for listening, and catch us next time.
All right, and if you have any suggestions or anything for us to talk about or anything you want to hear about, just let us know and we can go off of that.
Yeah, you can send me an email at ntgmondays@yahoo.com or look me up on my YouTube channel.
All right, well, thank you, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time. Have fun gaming.